Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, this week in our study, we had a lot of verses, didn't we? But there was certainly a common thread to everything we studied, and that was faith. And faith is more than just an intellectual agreement that something is true. It's trust, confidence, reliance, belief in God through Christ. It's a surrender of all our will and then the actions that will follow. That's all a part of what faith is. Do you know that there's actually no word in the English language to properly convey the meaning of this word faith when you read the word faith in the Bible? In the original, we don't have a word that fully explains or conveys the depth of what that means to have faith. We know from Romans 10:17 where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the word of God. Well, this week, that common thread faith, I loved our simple memory verse. Do not be afraid, only believe. That's what faith is. What Jesus wanted and what he could do in the lives of the people who would believe, who would have faith, really knew no end. We read of a young 12-year-old girl who was restored back to life. Jairus, her father, was a leader of the local synagogue, and in faith, he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, "Help me, my daughter, she's dying." To Jesus, he said, "If you would just lay your hand on her, she'll be well, she'll live." Then word came, devastating news. "Don't bother the teacher, it's too late, she has already died." Funeral musicians had already been brought in and hired. There was seemingly no hope. In this situation, the crowd actually laughed at Jesus when he said she was only asleep. Most certainly, everyone thought it's just too late. But Jesus told Jairus, he said, "Don't be afraid, just have faith that she will live, that it will be well." The mockers were told to get out of the room, and the only ones allowed to witness this miracle were three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and then the young girl's parents, Jairus and his wife. And Jesus took that little girl's hand and said, "Little girl, get up." It hadn't been too late, because Jesus brought her back to life. We also studied about a woman who had an issue of blood, constant bleeding for 12 years. Jesus was her last hope. I wonder if she ever thought, or those around her thought, it's gone on too long. But then she heard about Jesus, and the scripture says, she deliberately reached out to touch his robe. I love that. She thought, if I could just touch a bit of him, I know he would help. He would be the solution. He turned around. He looked around. He knew power had gone out from him. He responded to that reach out of faith. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." It hadn't been too long. Because of Jesus, she was miraculously healed. And then we read about two blind men that went after Jesus. Blindness was an incurable condition in Jesus' day. You know, all must have thought that it was impossible for these men to ever see. Giving sight to the blind, well, that's just too impossible. But the blind men, in faith, shouted for Jesus to have mercy on them. And Jesus asked them very directly, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they both replied, "Yes, we do." So he touched, he healed their eyes, he restored their sight, and he said, because of your faith, it will happen. It hadn't been too impossible. Because of Jesus, these blind men's eyes were opened. They could see. And then we read about the parables, the meaning of parables in Matthew chapter 13. These are earthly stories to convey a deep spiritual heavenly truth. The ability for us as believers to take by faith and see everyday common occurrences and attach spiritual, moral, and heavenly truths to them. If parables were written today in our time and our culture, maybe the illustrations would have been different, but the principle the same, to take these things of common everyday occurrences and apply what God's doing, what's to come, judgment, everything, to these common elements. Jesus came to reveal heavenly truth, the teachings about God and his kingdom. It was not his intention to hide anything, but many refused to hear, refused to listen, refused to have faith. And he would move on when he saw the absence of faith. He wanted to challenge listeners, readers, in matters of faith, to respond in faith in Christ. Those who fully trust in Jesus will see things and we will respond to things differently. We'll see, we'll hear, we'll act differently because we have a heavenly perspective. Thus, our hopes, our priorities, our actions will be different from those without faith in Christ. The parables were simple, straightforward, and ultimately they were a call to respond in faith and obedience. But many of the crowds, and I would say most today, willfully closed to the truth. They won't believe. They lack faith. And it's just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold, which is quoted in Matthew 13. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear or understand. The disciples, by contrast, followed Jesus by faith. He said directly to them, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Oh, I just picture him having such direct eye contact with his beloved disciples when he looked right in them, their physical eyes, and told them, you see things, you hear things that most don't. He says, I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. If we look around with merely our physical eyesight and hearing the news, watching what's going on today, we see darkness, we see rebellion. At best, we just hear nonsense. And at the worst and most grievous, we see full-on rebellion against God and blasphemy against God. And some turn away from living as Christians in obedience because they're now looking with eyes that are not of faith or ears not of faith. And they say it's just too hard. Well, in the parables, Jesus pointed out the seeds, where it fell, where the different seeds would fall. Where's your seed falling? Your seeds, what you see, what you hear, the word of God, where does it fall? Does it sink in that deep, rich soil and grow and produce fruit? It can only be done by seeing and hearing as Christ intends, by eyes and ears of faith. Verse 23 in Matthew 13 says, the seed that fell on good soil represent those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100-fold as much as had been planted. Seeing, hearing, going deep in believing and understanding of God's word is a faith that bears fruit. That's what God's looking for. So not only is it a lie to believe it's too hard in this day and age to live for Jesus, the truth is not only can we live for Jesus, we will bear fruit when we go deep in these hard times. There will be growth. There will be that tree planted by the rivers whose leaves don't wither, who bears fruit in every season. Amazing. Can we declare in faith in situation in our lives, like Jairus's daughter, Lord, I believe in this situation, it's not too late. Or with the woman with the issue of blood, can we take that truth and say in our situation, I believe it has not gone on too long, Jesus? Or like the blind men, can we say, I believe it's not too impossible, Jesus? Or from the teaching of the parables, will we say, in spite of the darkness and sin and depravity all around, will we say, I believe in your strength, it's not too hard to live for you, Christ? Because Jesus says, I've blessed you with eyes that see, with ears that hear, a much bigger picture. Well, our text that we're going to anchor in on this morning is from Mark 4, 35 to 41. And kind of carrying our theme with what we've already gone over this morning, the other passages, the title to my message this morning is, I Believe You Calm the Storms, Jesus. I'll begin reading Mark 4, 35. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, be still, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? I believe Jesus calms the storms. Do you? You know, on that same day, Jesus had just, chronologically, it doesn't line up this way in the Gospel of Matthew, but chronologically, Jesus had most probably just taught on the parable. So he had just said to these disciples, blessed are your eyes, because they see. Blessed are your ears, because they hear. And then we encounter a situation where they really needed to see and hear things that were beyond physically what was going on. I've got four things to consider, maybe tools for encouragement when we face storms in life. How do we see that Jesus calms the storms? Well, I've taken my 4 points right from the words of Jesus, the red letters in this text. The first one being, let us cross over to the other side. The second one that we'll consider is, peace, be still. Thirdly, why are you so fearful? And fourth, how is it that you have no faith? Firstly, verse 35, let's cross over to the other side. You know, Jesus didn't always tell his disciples, nor does he always tell us where he is taking us. But here he did. None of us need a single commentary to see where Jesus planned on taking these disciples, to the other side, from the west side of the Sea of Galilee to the east side. Most were experienced fishermen, and they had known the likely timetable and the conditions that could arise in this path. But they didn't know what awaited them. on the other side. It was a group of people that had never heard the plan of salvation before. They would even encounter a demon-possessed person. There were other little boats making the journey as well. I wondered, did they want more of Jesus' teaching? Did they just want to be near him? What a privilege these disciples had when they set out that day. Jesus chose to be in their boat. Actually, they had the privilege of being in his boat, didn't they? He was in their boat. Amazing. Well, a violent storm erupted. Now, storms were not uncommon on that sea. The fishermen would have known this well. But this storm had them terrified. The Greek word for this storm is furious. It had a hurricane force. It was just a steady, violent, pounding, thrashing storm. One of the Gospels says in the original that it came up from the depths like an earthquake and just overtook them and the boat in its intensity. The crashing waves would have just enveloped them. The boat was thrust all around. I picture a tiny little toy boat in a washing machine just being tossed around in the tempest. All the commentators suggest that it hit suddenly and violently. It didn't build up. Boom. It was just there, and they were right in the middle of it. Think of the sounds. You know, they had ears to hear, but what their physical ears were hearing, the crashing waves, the sound. I don't know if there would have been thunder and lightning and all that, but the wind. Think of the cold. They were fatigued. It was probably dark. They were scared. The confusion that understandably would have overtaken someone in a similar situation. Where was Jesus? Well, we know well, he was asleep in the boat. He was at the helm. And do you know this is the place for the pilot or the master of the ship to be? How appropriate is that? Well, the disciples falsely concluded that he wasn't concerned, that he didn't care. You know, the fact that Jesus was sound asleep was a display of his full humanity. He was exhausted from the ministry of the day. He knew what was ahead, and he was wisely taking rest. He knew he could take rest. He knew everything was under control. So that shows Jesus' full humanity. And we will see very clearly this situation also displays his full deity, that he is God in flesh. The display of his humanity being asleep would have challenged faith, the faith of the disciples, in a way they had never yet been challenged. What would they do? They reacted, I think, much like we would, in the flesh, with the sudden and violent circumstances, frightening circumstances. To their credit, they did turn to Christ. We don't read that they paddled furiously. We don't read that they bailed out water of the boat. They did turn to Christ. But they came to the worst possible conclusion, that Jesus didn't care. They panicked. They thought his sleep showed lack of concern. They implied that this teacher, this master, this Lord was not attentive to their needs. There's a great deal of difference between fear or worry and concern. Concern in the face of danger is a healthy response, and it will prompt us to act in a wise way. You know, we need to have concern about things that happen and rise up in the face of danger, not only for ourselves, but those around us, those that we love. But fear and worry are the enemies of faith. They're counterproductive. They can cripple. They're destructive. This fear in the disciples led to unbelief and a false understanding of Jesus' power or care. Verse 38b says, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Well, we might look at that and think, how could they say that? But remember, daily these disciples were discovering more of who Jesus was. And isn't that true for us? We are daily discovering more of Jesus' power and authority over our lives, in our lives, for us. He tells each one of us, let's cross over to the other side. He's taking us places daily. Some days we know that journey well, from the moment we rise till the moment we go to sleep. What has planned, what's on our calendar, and it goes status quo, just as we had thought. But sometimes when Jesus says to us, let's go to the other side, sometimes maybe because of storms in our lives or circumstances, we need that truth to be applied moment by moment. He's saying, Trish, I'm going to take you to the other side of this 5 minutes because I know how weak you are right now. Or the other side of an hour, or the other side of this day. And we have to constantly remind ourselves, Jesus is there to take us, lead us, oftentimes carry us to the other side of difficult places in life. He's with me. I'm crossing over this day into tomorrow. This situation, this storm, this trial, to the next. Maybe it will be a place of calmness. Who knows? God knows. And we just have to trust him to take us to the other side. He will. He has promised us a safe journey from this fallen state ultimately into heaven with him. Storms are not uncommon in life. I don't need to remind any one of us of that. You know, literal storms can pop up out of nowhere, and they're just a part of seasonal change in different parts of the country. The meteorologists will track storms and the likelihood of the path, but some come out of absolutely nowhere. You know, I'm from the Midwest, and when the storms seem to be right for a storm to pop up or a tornado, we would do the responsible thing, I think, and we would turn on the radio or news or get our, you know, battery-operated devices, and we would listen for instruction. And then we would listen for the sound of maybe a tornado siren. And then we would act accordingly. We'd go down to the basement, whatever it called for. If we were in a car, we would find a place safe that was wise for whatever storm it was that was coming that way. Well, such is true in personal storms in our lives. Sometimes we see them coming. You know, we're prepared. The conditions are ripe. This is going to turn into something. But sometimes they come out of nowhere. We need to be wise. We need to listen for instruction through the Word of God. We need to have those ears and eyes tuned to what the Lord is saying for our safety, where he would take us. Listen to the Holy Spirit in those times. Pray, run to the shelter of the Most High. Find your safety in your refuge, your fortress, your strong tower, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. All storms are allowed by God. The storms, the trials, the difficulties that we face, God has allowed. If they are in our lives, he has allowed them. The health that we either enjoy or struggle with, death, finances, family relationships, friendships, some people, ministry, school, work, or the absence of employment, unforeseen obligations, even change itself can bring about storms. I can't help but every time I think of this passage of Jesus calming the storms, I think of Pastor Greg's excellent message on calming the storms. And in that, he talks about three different types of storms: perfecting storms, protecting storms, and correcting storms. And I called the bookstore, and they have some already copied if you're interested in picking up that study of his. Excellent, excellent encouragement and perspective, right perspective. It's also available on our website in the archived messages. Just type in storms as the keyword. But the solution, whatever the cause or the work or the purpose of these storms, is always going to be remember to trust God and all his promises. Last night at our midweek study, Pastor Jeff Lassane mentioned that someone actually looked up all the promises of God. She spent 2.5 years, a lady in Canada, I believe, 2.5 years reading through the Bible and finding God's promises. She read through the Bible 27 times, and she came up with about 7,500 promises to us in God's Word. If you think that you can't find a promise, look again. We've got eyes to see. God has promised us so much in Christ, and they are all yes and amen in Christ for the glory of God. But you know, some storms, those correcting storms, as Pastor Greg would have referred to, they're consequences, either by sin of our own actions or by someone that we love, that we're just in that storm with them because of their actions. And if it's a personal sin that has caused a storm, yes, you need to remember God's promises, but you have to do something first, and that's repent of your sin. Because the storm, I guarantee, is going to get worse if we don't, if we rebel. You know, some storms can start out like those little dust devils in the desert, you know. They're just little cute little things that spin around and you try to take a picture of them. But, you know, if it goes unchecked and has the territory and the right conditions to stir and bring things along in it, it's just bringing everything in its path, and you've got a full-on tornado involved. Storms can start out remote. You know, we can deal with that. But if we don't remember God's promises and if we don't repent of our sins, then they're going to blow up into something else. A root of bitterness can cause a horrible storm that turns to anger, that feeds on itself, and then it just lashes out. Discontentment can start out as a little storm and just destroy so much. It leads to going after what's not yours, to coveting, groping, unhappiness. Concern can lead to storm. As I mentioned, concern is a good thing. But if it leads, if it's not checked, if you don't seek the wisdom of God in Him, it goes unchecked and it does lead to fear and worry, panic, and rash and unwise responses. Trust God. Seek Him for the purpose in the storm. Look up those promises. Believe them by faith. Be steadfast. Be immovable. You know, there's other little boats making the journey in our lives as well. They watch us when we go through a storm, don't they? Maybe some of them know Christ as their Savior, but others may not, and they know we have Christ in our boat. Our witness is so important when we go through the storms. On Christmas Eve, I came home from Harvest and watched Pastor Levi Lusco teach just days after his five-year-old daughter's Lenya's homegoing to heaven from the severe asthma attack. Then 2 days after Christmas, I watched the celebration of Lenya's short life. As a sister in Christ to the Lusco family, I prayed for this family, I have wept with this and for this family, and I, like you, was a little boat watching this horrible storm in this family's life. But to see Jenny, Levi, Pastor Greg proclaim their undying trust in a Lord through this, in their Lord and Savior, through this storm, builds my faith. Levi acknowledged that there was so much sorrow, but Christ is their anchor in this storm. They are going forward in his strength where Christ leads. This storm has not destroyed that family, nor did it destroy the Lori family, but it has strengthened their faith, thereby strengthening our faith as we watch from afar. Little boats are watching your lives, your storms, your calmness, your prosperity, your leanness. Will they see your faith in Christ strengthen through the storms? I hope so. Well, Jesus was asleep but in control. When heaven seems silent, we need to choose to see through eyes of faith. Remember, God is on the throne. He is in control. All is secure in him. Jesus is at this very moment at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. God is not unconcerned. We choose to believe that, to hear that by faith. Listen to God speak to you. Go where you know God speaks loudly, clearly, his word. Read the word of God. Journal about the word of God. You know, I'm not always the best at being consistent in journaling, but I am so thankful for those days and years and times where I have been especially consistent in my journaling, because I love to go back and see God's power in my life. I love to see my honesty when I've been like the psalmist, you know, my soul in the dust, but yet I have seen God revive me. I encourage you to be in God's word and journal. On Sunday in my one-year Bible reading, I read about Genesis 28, and I pondered God's promise to Jacob when he said, "I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you will go. I will not leave you until I finished giving you everything I promised you." I spent a long time Sunday journaling. I just kept writing down God's promises to be with me and his faithfulness, and I can't tell you the ministry to my soul that was. We need to spend time contemplating God's word and what he is speaking to us, and the peace of Christ then will reign. And that leads us to the second point. And the second thing Jesus said, "Peace, be still." From verse 39, "Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." There's two different commands here that show Jesus' authority over the elements and nature. Jesus rebuked the storms. It's quite possible the force behind these storms was demonic. The disciples had not yet seen this display of God's power, that he has authority even over nature, the elements. He says, "Peace." That means be still, be silent, be hushed, calm, cease thy tossing. And then he says, "Be still." And I love this, "Cease thy roaring." So we're to cease thy tossing and cease thy roaring. Be thou gagged. Close your mouth as with a muzzle. Be still. Peace. Be still. Then immediately the wind ceased and there was a great calm. The great storm was instantaneously replaced by a great calm. You know, if just the wind had stopped, there would have been a ripple effect with the waves and the wind and everything. We know that from when a big earthquake hits and then there's tsunamis that follow. This was like a double miracle. The wind stopped and the seas were calm instantaneously by his word. What an inspiring thought and sight. Jesus can do that. In 1989, I was 27 weeks along with our third child, our last child, our youngest, Patrick. And it was 3 months before we gave our lives to the Lord. And I was in the emergency room in the hospital, and the doctor was telling me that he was going to take me by ambulance to a place that had a neonatal facility because they fully expected Patrick to be delivered. He'd weigh about 1 pound. So he said, I'm going to go with you. The nurse is going to go with you. Well, they're giving us this storm of a news, for sake of the illustration, and a nurse came in with a phone and plugged it by the side of my bed, and everybody's ready to go, and I'm looking, it was before cell phones, and I'm looking at the phone, and she says, there's a lady named Donna from your son's school that wants to pray with you. Well, I wasn't yet a Christian, so frankly, I hate to admit it, but I was a bit irritated. It's like, I'm a little busy now. Can this wait? You know, but the doctor looks at me and he's like, take the call. So I took the call, and Donna, it was a Christian preschool that our 5-year-old went to. She said, Trish, I heard you're in labor and I'd like to pray with you. I'm like, okay, go ahead. And so she prayed, and that was my first experience of a peace that just washes over you, that defies physically what's going on. That was a divine moment for me, and very much a part of what led me to believe in this faith in Christ was real. And you know, the labor never stopped. I was in and out of the hospital for 3 times. We got to UCI, and they're prepping Jeff. They took him down and showed him a 1-pound baby, what they said Patrick would be. And then the doctor looks at me, and he says, you know what? I'm going to wait. For 11 weeks, I never went out of labor. I was on my left side the whole time, medicine every 2 hours around the clock. The storm, if you will, didn't subside. Labor was timable, everything. But the calm in me was still. It never left me. I had 2 other kids, and it defied understanding. Well, you know, God calmed me in that storm. And I also have had a miscarriage where getting me to the other side of that meant that I have a child now in heaven that I will see. God's ways are higher. Sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he takes away the storm. But he wants to calm the storm in each one of his children. Trust him. Peace, be still. God wants to speak peace to each one of us. We need to settle down, ladies. We need to be still and listen. Receive the peace. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Well, thirdly, Jesus says, why are you so fearful? The disciples believed and had accepted that Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah. They had faith. They didn't have fear when they picked up and they left their families and their occupations and left all behind and followed Jesus. They were men full of faith. Of course they were. But at this moment, the disciples were full of fear at the storm. They were learning daily, as I mentioned earlier, the extent to which they would trust. They could trust Jesus. This storm was a necessary tool for them. They would live through it. They would live more fully because of it for Jesus. They would live to witness more of the miraculous. They would live to witness the arrest, the beating, the mock trial, the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They lived to see the resurrected Christ. Amen? Amen. They lived through this storm. They lived to see him alive. And they lived to live more fearlessly for him. And they lived to even die for him. As recorded from the Fox Book of Martyrs, the 12 apostles, Andrew, Philip, and Simon were all crucified. Bartholomew was beaten and then crucified. James and Judas, not Iscariot, were stoned to death. James, son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Matthew, Thomas, and Matthias were stoned to death. Peter was crucified upside down. And John was exiled because of his faith, and he died at an old age. These men overcame their fear, and it is true of them what is spoken of in Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even to death. Application, why are we so fearful? God wants to show us, quite probably, a new aspect through these storms of why and how deep he loves us and how much we can trust him and how good he is. He works all these storms together, even for the good. There's such comfort in knowing that we have a loving Savior that cares for us. He didn't leave us. He didn't leave the disciples alone. You know, I thought about that and I thought, Christ never left his kids alone except for one time, and that was going to the cross, and that's the very place we should have been. He will never leave us or forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Don't be afraid. Finally, in verse 40b, how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be? Even the winds and way and sea obey him. With all the disciples had witnessed, how is it that they failed the test of faith? If they would have thought of what they had seen and heard so far in Jesus' ministry up to that point, it would have served as a good reminder of his power and authority. Remember, when John the Baptist's disciples came and said, who is this Jesus? Is this the Messiah that we've been waiting for? And Jesus says, you go back and tell John. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. The disciples saw this, but in this moment of weakness, they let fear, they had little faith. And those were only the things that are listed in the Word. The Bible says there's so many things Jesus did that not all the volumes of things written could contain them all. People can do amazing things when they're told they can do it. You know, Jesus says you can have faith through this. Believe him at his word. Trust him. Don't give up. Don't show lack of faith. Don't think the storm is too rough. Know that Jesus is in this storm, in this boat with you. He is taking you to the other side. Fear of circumstances should be replaced by a holy, reverential fear of God. Do you believe, ladies, this morning that Jesus can calm the storms? He does calm the storms in your life. He calms us, even if the storms may rage. He is saying those red letters to us, underline them and believe them. And every time you face a storm, just remember what Jesus said. Let's cross over to the other side. Peace, be still. Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And then ask God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and because of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to speak peace to your heart. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we are so thankful for your word and your faithfulness, your promises, your power, your love. What more do we need, Lord? As we sing this last song, Lord, I pray that the ministry of the Holy Spirit would just speak peace in the midst of where we are today. We pray this, that we might bring you much glory with our lives. No matter where you lead us, we know we're going to the other side. In Jesus' name, amen.